The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here for the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and welcome to National Hunting and Fishing Day 2016. First to suggest an official day of thanks to sportsmen was Ira Joffe, owner of Joffe's Gun Shop in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania in 1970. Pennsylvania Governor Raymond Schaefer adopted Joffe's idea and created Outdoor Sportsman's Day in the state of Pennsylvania. With determined prompting from the National Shooting Sports Foundation, the concept soon emerged on the floor of the U.S. Senate. In June of 1971, Senator Thomas McIntyre, New Hampshire, introduced a joint resolution 117 authorizing National Hunting and Fishing Day on the fourth Saturday of every September. Representative Bob Sykes of Florida introduced an identical measure in the House. In early 1972, Congress unanimously passed both bills. On May 2nd, 1972, President Richard Nixon signed the first proclamation of National Hunting and Fishing Day, writing, "I urge all citizens to join with outdoor sportsmen in the wise use of our natural resources and in ensuring their proper management for the benefit of future generations." By late summer, all 50 governors and over 600 mayors had joined in by proclaiming state and local versions of National Hunting and Fishing Day. And that's where we are today. Let's talk to our guest this morning, Matt Sell. Good morning, Matt. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Alan. How are you today?
I'm doing great. So what's going on in your world today?
Oh, just trying to get the day started, right?
I understand you're headed east today.
Yes, sir.
And then
south. Yep. Yeah, we have a fishing day, light tackle fly fishing event going on at Bass Pro, starting about 10 o'clock this morning and going through this afternoon.
And you're
going
to be there?
Yes, I'll be there to talk about brook trout.
Brook trout, good. Hang on, we have a caller. Hold on just a minute there, Matt.
Sure thing.
George, good morning.
Oh, yes?
You're up, George. Hurry up.
Yeah, hello. Alan?
Yes, sir.
Over here on the Eastern Shore, I talked to you about a year ago about the deer population.
Okay.
And I found an article in the Wall Street Journal a while ago about a cheap method of sterilization for animals.
It's, yep.
Calcium chloride. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
Oh. Well, the article goes on to say it talks about too many dogs, 375 million stray dogs worldwide. The article talks about how veterinarians and animal care people could sterilize the animals to prevent the overpopulation.
Is that what you're suggesting, George?
I'm just talking about it. I mean, it could be an idea. I don't know. That's why I was calling you.
Why would you want that to be an idea?
Because last year we talked about the amount of deer that's getting killed on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and so forth.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think if the farmers would require the on the Eastern Shore that require people that lease farms would require people to harvest a minimum number of deer that population would take care of itself? Or do you think that if more hunting was open on Sundays on the Eastern Shore that problem would take care of itself? See, I don't think we need to go down that path. I think we just need to let hunters do what they do.
They're not hunting enough.
Well, again, it's private property owners who won't allow hunters on their properties and then complain about the deer. You see, George, the deer don't belong to anybody in Maryland, and yet they belong to all of us. Just because a deer wanders onto a farmer's property doesn't mean he owns that deer. The deer are owned by the citizens of Maryland. And quite frankly, if you were to introduce or somebody were to introduce this method that you're talking about, the Maryland Hunting Coalition would fight that tooth and nail. That's all.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just thought it would be a humane solution, especially in populated areas. You don't have that much hunting.
Who would administer it, and how would it be administered?
I'd explain that in the article. I guess we don't have time to talk about all that.
No, we got a guest on from Fisheries Service.
Right.
But do you have a copy of the article or a link to it? Can you find it and email it to me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com?
I'd have to maybe print a copy. It's November 29th, 2014.
All right, I'll try to remember that. Bethany, if you write down November 29th, 2014. Wait, Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, on page C3.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Saturday, Sunday.
We'll see what we can do.
I guess that's the weekend edition.
Sure. George, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Got to roll. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Matt, still with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, National Hunting and Fishing Day, you're going to be presenting a brook trout fishing seminar at Bass Pro Shop today. But here you are as our guest this morning, and that's not your topic, though.
No.
Well, wait a minute. What are we going to talk about today, buddy?
I think we're going to talk about some big toothy critters.
Big toothy critters. I love big toothy critters. They're a lot of fun to catch and fish for, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir. I know you like to fish for those big toothy critters, not only in Deep Creek Lake with the northern pike, but I know you like to focus on muskies and walleye in the Potomac, the upper Potomac. And we've had our guest on that. Help me with the name.
John Mulliken
on and talking about that, that's for sure. But you and I had the privilege of fishing together last year, and we caught some of those northern pike. And if I remember right, you tagged most of them.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Kind of what we saw, what we have been seeing is generally an increase in angler reports of catching some of these really big pike. So it's piqued our interest here in Fisheries Service since starting last year. On my time when I'm out there catching them, anyhow, we decided to go ahead and put some tags in them. Help us learn a little bit about where they go, when they go there, how quickly they grow, what kind of catch rates and harvest rates we're seeing on these bigger fish, and generally just getting some baseline population data from them.
And how long have you been doing this?
That started in about this time last year, end of August, beginning of September last year.
I can't remember. I think we tagged like number 13, 14, 15 when I was with you, something in that range.
Yes, pretty close. I think we were in the neighborhood of 16, 17, 18, something like that. But, yeah,
okay.
We tagged, I believe, four or five fish.
Yep.
On that trip. And we actually, the one fish that you had caught and released was then caught again about a mile and a half from where you caught it.
Really?
Through the ice, and that angler decided to take it home and make some fillets out of it.
Mm. So, well, they're tasty.
Yeah, they're bony. They're not as tasty, I would say, as a yellow perch or a walleye, but hey, to each their own.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well. Yeah, they're not. You're exactly right. But you know what? If you like to eat fish, it's not a horrible one. We ate them in Canada, and there's a trick to filleting them, and I'm not going to tell people what it is. So they're I'm going to tell them, look, hey, boy, I'll tell you what, they're okay to eat, but they're very, very bony.
Yes. That's a good way to describe it.
Stop trying to save your specimens up there at Deep Creek Lake, buddy.
Well, it's not that, we have a daily limit and a daily creel.
Sure.
For a reason.
And sure.
It's, populations can sustain harvest.
Right, exactly.
But what I think folks really need to understand is that, particularly with our really large fish, based on, we've taken scale samples and things like that from these fish to try to get a feel for what age are they when they get into that cetacean size, 38,
right.
40, 40-plus inch fish. And generally speaking, some grow faster, some grow slower, but generally speaking, you're looking at a fish that's right in around 10 years old. So
wow.
they don't exactly, for lack of a better analogy, grow on trees.
No, they don't.
And it takes a while to get a fish to that size. So my suggestion would be that typically there are more small fish.
Right.
And the smaller fish that are of legal size to keep if you wanted to eat one, that would be my suggestion.
Right. What's the size limit now, 30 inches?
It's 30 inches, yes.
And we caught a couple over 30, which would have been legal to keep. They weren't citation size, of course, but if somebody wanted to catch one of those and take it home and eat it, like you said, the fellow did with my tag number, whatever. I say my tag. I mean, I think there's a picture on the website of you and I with, I don't remember.
I think we actually doubled up on a couple of mid-30 class fish.
We did. We did.
Mayhem in the net.
Yeah, two in the net at the same time. Pretty interesting.
Yep. But, makes you glad you have a big net.
I was glad you did, as a matter of fact. So, but, I mean, 30 inches, did you say? Is that the minimum?
Yeah, 30-inch minimum size, and it's currently a two fish daily creel.
Are we taking too many at that size, do you think?
Well, at this point, we've considered some new regulations specifically for Deep Creek,
right?
Because there are an increase, it seems, in the number of really nice fish being caught.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some serious trophy potential there, which is really unique for as far south as what we are.
Well, what that simply means is that we've had a couple of good year classes.
Well, potentially. Potentially we had some good year classes. The other thing that it could be is that, at some point along the way, there's been a shift, and I'm not sure exactly what it may be, but there's been a definite change in the last 8 to 10 years
mm-hmm.
in the amount, types, and general distribution of vegetation in the
right,
Creek.
Right.
We're seeing more of the bigger pond weed type weeds. A lot of milfoil, hydrilla showed up a couple of years ago, and with more extensive weed beds, thicker weed beds, places for those little guys to hide. They can escape the hungry mouths of the walleye and the perch and the pickerel and the everything else that like to eat them. So I think it could just be that we've had a habitat shift in the lake that now favors pike. So they're able to get more consistent year classes off. But that's pure speculation at this point. We still have a lot to learn.
Sure. I got it. Okay. So you said there was a regulation to increase the minimum size. What was that all about?
Yeah, because of the number of big fish we were seeing showing up, mostly anecdotal reports from our anglers, we started to take a little bit closer look at it, and what we found is that there is actually a fairly nice little population of really trophy class fish in the lake, and by trophy class I refer to 40-inch fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the benchmark nationally that pike anglers go by to consider it a trophy. And, there's a fair number of those fish there, but they're a fairly low-density fish relative to walleye
or
perch or anything else. So we started to think about, hey, do we want to adjust regulations to maybe enhance that trophy potential, because we were seeing a lot of harvest, again, through those anecdotal reports, particularly of the large fish.
Right.
So we started kicking the idea around in this past winter and spring. We conducted a preference survey of our inland anglers, and we focused on the Western Maryland Deep Creek Lake area.
Right.
And just to get a feel for whether or not anglers would support a regulation change aimed at developing that trophy fishery and the potential side benefit of it, which is they are a great biological control, both of themselves.
Right.
They cannibalize readily. And the wonderful fish in Deep Creek that everybody loves so much, the chain pickerel.
Right.
So we
you're saying that tongue-in-cheek, but actually they are pretty fun to fish for.
They are.
For kids. As long as you have your long nose, needle nose pliers, you bend the barbs down on the hooks, and you keep your fingers out of their mouths, you're going to have a good time with the pickerel.
Yeah, they're generally very eager to bite.
So, exactly.
Yeah, so getting action isn't too much trouble, but I would say, given the opportunity,
right.
if folks if folks could say, hey, let me trade this biomass and pickerel for more 3 foot long to 40 inch plus northern pike.
Yeah,
I'd be willing to bet that most folks would probably be willing to make that trade. But you know, there is a small group of folks out there. Granted, it's the vast minority from the folks that I've spoke with, but there is a small following for the pickerel out there.
So. Right.
But yeah, basically we did that preference survey, and what we found out was pretty surprising that just shy of 90% of the anglers supported that type of regulation change.
Right.
You know, so there was definitely support for it there in Deep Creek, and so we proposed a reg here this year, and the proposed reg would have bumped the minimum size up to 40 inches to really protect those big fish, and then include a closed season to protect the pre-spawn fish through the winter months.
Right.
And what we decided was we got some public comment back on it, roughly split 50-50 as far as pro and con.
Mm-hmm.
But we took a little bit harder look at the regulation in-house here with our fishery staff, and we decided that, hey, let's go ahead and design some surveys. We'll get a little more concrete population data if we can. And we'll refine the reg, make it a little bit more robust, if you will, and maybe look at a potential regulation change here in a few years.
Okay. So. Hold on a minute. We got to take a break.
Sure thing.
All right. Hang on there. All right. Let me tell you about Merrick Backcountry. Feed your dog what dogs used to feed themselves. Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet with grain-free, high-protein kibble, and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat. Backcountry is made in the USA for dogs who love exploring it. That's Merrick Backcountry. They love the wild as much as you do. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Spray on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, let's talk about guns. Let's talk about firearms. Let's talk about shooting sports and hunting. Well, where do you find the firearms for those two endeavors? Clyde Sports Shop, your hunting headquarters, of course. Let's talk about the A5 Browning, the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader on the planet. Here's the guarantee. 100,000 rounds or a 5-year guarantee. Kinematic drive system is what drives the action of this beautiful A5 that's been introduced several years ago from the fine folks at Browning. They are available in camo and black synthetic models as well. Let's talk about the BPS pump. That's right. For those of you who love a pump-action shotgun, the BPS comes in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge, and even 12 and 20-gauge rifled barrel deer models are available. It features a bottom ejection. It has the DuraTouch armor coating and Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity camo. You can get yours with a choice of 3 Invector Plus choke tubes as well. The Maxis is the autoloader shotgun for waterfowl hunting perfection. Don't forget the X-Bolt, the high-powered rifle, extremely accurate bolt-action big game hunting perfection. Standard, Magnum, and short Magnum calibers, all available. Adjustable feather trigger and a detachable rotary magazine. For the shooting sports fans, it's the 725 Satori, both in 12 and 20 gauge, the perfect blend of beauty and performance. If you like shooting sporting clays, this over and under is the one you need. It's Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9. That phone number is 410-242-6108. 242-6108, ClydeSports.com is the website. Open 7 days, and they honor all major credit cards. Clyde Sports Shop. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Hey, and don't forget the Maryland Fishing Challenge, a free year-round tournament, already started for 2016 and goes till Labor Day of next year. It's a year-round tournament hosted by DNR Fishery Service for everyone who fishes recreationally in Maryland. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic to Deep Creek that we're talking about today, and almost 70 species of fish in five categories: freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. There's even a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size, you get your official angler award certificate and an invitation to the grand finale, and that qualifies you to win some great, great prizes and even cash. The fish are biting right now in Deep Creek Lake, according to Matt Sell, our guest. They're in the Potomac, the Eastern Shore Ponds, the Susquehanna, the Chesapeake Bay, everywhere in Maryland. It is not the time to stay indoors. Just go fish. The official rules are online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Basis at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of bass destruction.
There you go. Weapons of bass destruction. National Hunting and Fishing Day on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Our guest is Matt Sell, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. Matt is a biologist for both brook trout and northern pike in Deep Creek Lake. Good morning, Matt. Again?
Good morning.
How you doing?
Living a dream, buddy.
I live in a dream. That's what I say. Absolutely. Listen, would you like to tell that joke you told it as co-host of the Maryland Fishing Challenge a couple of weeks ago?
I'm not sure. I got booed.
What do you mean you got booed?
I heard boos from the crowd.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so hilarious. Why don't you tell it now, Matt?
No, I'm going to go ahead and refrain from doing so. I'm going to take what dignity I have left after that and hang on to it tightly.
Can't be much after the after that.
I do have a new one that I think I'm going to break out next year at the Fishing Challenge.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to keep us in suspense, huh?
Yes. I'll have people waiting with bated breath.
Matt, we have a caller that would like to talk to you. Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Dale. How are you this morning?
It's good to see you last week.
Likewise.
Yeah. Matt, I have a question. There's that other toothy member of the Esox family. I'm just wondering if there's been any inclination to put those in Deep Creek Lake.
You mean pickerel?
No.
You mean walleye?
Up the food chain, sir. Up the food chain, Alan.
All right, go ahead, Matt.
I believe he's talking about our friendly muskies.
Yeah. I mean, fishermen are always anxious to catch something bigger, and not necessarily better, but bigger.
Yes, indeed. To answer your question directly, no, there's been no inclination to do so. The reason is probably there are a few reasons. First and foremost is that lake is already fairly predator heavy, so a lot of mouths at the table, you know, with the walleyes and the pike and the pickerel and the perch and all. It's a fairly delicate balance there, and the public backlash, I personally, and I'm speaking just from my personal opinion at this point, but public backlash would probably be pretty strong against it. The introduction of a big fish like that, they have a reputation, albeit mostly unfounded, as eating everything that they see. So the bass anglers and the walleye anglers and the perch anglers may not like that. Do I think the lake is ideally suited for a muskie population? Absolutely. Do I think that we could produce world-class fish out of that lake? Probably so. I would say that it would consistently produce 50-plus inches. But that being said, it is what it is. And the flip side is that generally we don't have strong pike populations where we have strong muskie populations, mm-hmm. and vice versa. They're direct competitors.
Oh, sure.
And generally muskies don't do well where you have a strong pike population because of the fact that the little guys will hatch slightly later than pike. So the pike fry in fingerlings get bigger sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as the muskies hatch, they are eaten quickly.
Dinner served.
Yeah, a lot of predation there. So that's why it's very rare that you find, particularly a small to medium sized water body that has a good pike and muskie fish.
Both. Matt, what about the other impoundments out there, Jennings Randolph and Savage Reservoir? Has there been any inclination to put some of those things, either northerns or muskies, in either one of those?
Not to my knowledge. At this point, the muskies are where they are, and the northerns are where they are. They're kind of a controversial fish because they get big and they can eat a lot if they choose to. Their primary diet consists of longer, more slender, soft raid type fishes,
right.
Suckers, pickerel, side-printed, minnows, big golden shiners, that sort of thing. But they will eat the occasional bass. They will eat the occasional perch and walleye and what have you. So there's a lot of, public dissent on the biggie sausages anyhow and their potential impact on an already established fishery.
Matt, you live in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, and
yep.
Just across the line there. Have you ever fished in Lake Somerset?
Yes, I have.
And that has, I believe, still has a sustained muskie and northern pike population, although it's a tremendously small body of water compared to Deep Creek Lake.
It's a hair less than 200 acres, where Deep Creek's around 3,900 acres.
Right, exactly.
And there are a few northern pike in Lake Somerset, High Point Lake, just down the way.
High Point, exactly, has both northerns and muskies, exactly. Yep.
But there haven't been muskies in High Point for a very long time. The Pennsylvania Fish and Boat, I believe, discontinued that stocking effort a while back.
You mean the 15-incher I caught, my only muskie I ever caught in my entire life out of High Point Lake, and I released it. I had to, of course, is probably not there anymore. Is that what you're telling me?
Likely not.
No, okay.
Yep. Well. Yeah. Now, Lake Somerset, on the other hand, was a pretty good little fishery for the muskies.
Yep.
They've been having some dam issues there, and it was down 6 or 8 feet.
Right.
It's difficult to launch a boat
right.
down so far, and, it's just because it's gotten so shallow, it warms up quickly and all. So I'm not really sure the status of that
right.
population. I talked to Rick Lorson, who's the regional fisheries manager
right.
up there, and this was maybe a year and a half ago, just seeing what his thoughts were. And he said that the muskies were still there and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just haven't been back, to be honest.
My dad had his one of his very few ever muskie follows in that lake.
Mm-hmm.
Caught my best Pennsylvania bass there, 5.5 pounds. And I have a pair of glasses at the bottom of Lake Somerset, as well as a Shakespeare casting rod and reel.
Hey, my little girl has a Barbie pole at the bottom of Lake Somerset.
Yeah. Well, when your 200-pound dad decides that he wants to row the 10-foot John boat and steps on the side, the results are not good.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, Dale, anything else, buddy?
No, I just wanted to ask Matt. Hopefully he'll be able to come down this spring. I was trying to teach him to catch a hickory shad or two, and
yeah.
Didn't do too bad.
Despite my general ineptitude as an angler, Dale, we did manage to catch a few, so I think that speaks a lot to your tutelage.
Timing is everything, like in all fishing, Matt. So if you get the right time, hopefully they will coincide with the turkey season.
Absolutely.
I think we'll do better next time.
Now, Matt, you and I have something in common. Uncle Dale there introduced both of us to hickory shad.
Hey, how about that?
How about that deal?
More than just good luck, huh?
I guess. All right, Dale, thanks for the call, buddy.
Alan, talk to you later.
All right, man, thank you. See you. All right, Matt, well, that was an interesting diversion, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Hey,
that's
like all things big and toothy.
Exactly. I know you do. Yeah, I know. So it's all good. Where do we go next? What would you like to talk about next, Matt?
I guess maybe touch on the folks who may be interested in getting into to fishing for these northern pike out here in Deep Creek or the Auk Reservoir, you know, where we have them statewide.
All right.
Just some of the gear maybe that that you're going to need to get going.
Give us a couple minutes on the gear. We'll take another break, and then we'll come back to you.
Okay. If you're going to target the big ones, and by big ones, I'm talking, you know, 3 footers plus up to, you know, low to mid 40-inch range, you don't want to have your standard walleye gear. You want to have a heavy, extra heavy type casting setup. I spool typically with 65-pound test braid, and never ever forget your big old steel leader at the end. Protect that line from those big teeth that
yeah.
they're so famous for. But generally speaking, you spool yourself up heavy, have a big net. Definitely don't want to go with your little walleye nets and things, because not only for the safe release of the fish, but also the safety of your hands. The last thing you want to do is reach your hand down in the water and try to do the jaw grab or somehow handle a 40-inch fish that's really angry and full of treble hooks.
Yeah, you may not come back with the same amount of fingers that you put down there.
No. And at the very least, even if you keep your fingers, you may come back with a bunch of extra holes in them in
mm-hmm.
the emergency room because the hooks that are on the baits you're using are typically pretty stout.
Yep.
And they're not ones you just grab with a pair of pliers and punch out the other side of the skin and cut the tip.
No.
So, And along those lines, getting at the baits, speaking of big hooks and all, if you want to catch these big fish, granted, a lot of fish are caught every year on walleye jigs and little crankbaits and little baits, but those are mostly bycatch. But if you really want to focus on the big ones, buy big baits. Go to your local musky tackle retailer and pick up some big stuff, big minnow-style baits, big blade-type baits. And, you know, the old adage, you know, big bait, big fish really applies.
Sure.
In this case.
Sure. Matt, I wanted to ask you this question. We didn't do this. We fished pretty much one style the whole time we were out there, one style of bait upon your recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think it would be cool to try some of those fish on the surface, some big floating minnow baits or poppers or something like that. Have you done that?
Absolutely. Would be a blast. I have not caught any doing it yet. Pike, for whatever reason, don't seem to be quite as taken by surface baits as, say, muskies are.
Right.
But, you know, I think it would be incredible to have them just explode. Now, with that being said, I have been burning baits over some good habitat and had fish literally launch 2 or 3 feet out of the water trying to get the bait.
Yeah.
So as close to a surface strike as what you can really get, but I definitely think it would work. It's just maybe this fall, if you come out and fish with me again, we'll give it a go early and late when
sure.
the water's nice and flat.
That'd be nice. The fish, you got people have to understand that the predator fish like muskies, walleyes, and pickerel, those ESOC species is. Dale referred to them, have their eyes pretty much on the tops of their heads.
Yeah.
And that's because they hide in the vegetation, and they keep an eye out above them for prey swimming above them. Is that pretty accurate?
That's pretty accurate.
And they like anything that's swimming over the top of those weed beds, they're coming after it. Be it a duck, a turtle, or a hapless minnow or bait fish or wounded game fish of some kind.
Yes, yeah, they're considered to be ambush predators. Their body form, the way their fins are placed on their body and everything, is designed so that they can really have really quick bursts of speed.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is they'll lay low in that type of cover, and yeah, they generally will feed up in the water column. So anything that comes scooting over their head that looks tasty,
yeah.
they can shoot out of their little hidey hole and attack it very, very quickly.
They don't suck a bait in like a river smallmouth, or they don't suck a bait in like a flounder or anything like that. When one hits, you know.
Absolutely. The take is probably the funnest part of it all.
Exactly.
And I can tell you that if a pike wants your bait, you're not going to be able to reel fast enough to get it away from
him. No, he'll get it. And he'll hit it right at the boat, as we have experienced.
As we have experienced. Yes, indeed.
I remember somebody who was looking at the camera talking to somebody, and a pike came up right beside the boat and ate his bait.
Yeah, about scared me to death.
I saw that video. Yeah.
Yes, that was pretty cool. I was fishing a new spot with my friend and supervisor, actually, Alan Heft.
Yep.
And had a fish right on the 40-inch mark come up with about 2 feet of line out.
Mm-hmm.
And take my bait right by the boat. And fortunately, I got it on the GoPro video, so it makes for a neat one to share.
All right, hang on. We got to take a break.
All right, sure thing.
Merrick Backcountry. Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet dogs go wild for, with a mix of exotic proteins and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat. Our grain-free recipes made in the USA offer the best nutrition for the dog whose appetite was never domesticated. That's Merrick Backcountry. They love the wild as much as you do. Hey, the Maryland Fishing Challenge is a free year-round tournament hosted by Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for everyone who fishes recreationally in Maryland. 70 species of eligible fish, all game fish from the Atlantic all the way out there to Deep Creek Lake, Chesapeake Bay, all the tidal rivers, all the freshwater river streams and ponds. Atlantic Coast, freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, catch and release, invasive species. There's also a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size, you receive your official angler award certificate and an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win fabulous prizes in cash. The fish are biting right now in Deep Creek Lake, in the Potomac, in the Eastern Shore Ponds, and everywhere else in Maryland. The bright western trout streams under the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, the deep Atlantic waters off Ocean City. Don't stay indoors this time of year. Go fish. The official rules are online, dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries, the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
Mostly cloudy and windy at times as we start off the weekend on this Saturday. The high later today should reach 72 as winds gusting from the east and northeast, and a cloudy sky tonight with a low of 58. There'll be scattered showers developing from tomorrow into Monday with high temperatures each afternoon eventually reaching the mid-70s. I'm Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, this is Sean Hannity. Guess what? Now there's finally a place to find the truth. Every weekday afternoon from 3 to 6, right here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learned more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunked, well, hell, I still had a good day. 'Cause if I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day. Yeah, give me my gun, a fishing pole. You might find me down at the fishing hole. I put the line in the water, watch the Bible go floating away.
All right. We're back with Matt Self from Deep Creek Lake in Maryland. And Matt is the brook trout and northern pike biologist for the state of Maryland. Matt, tell us again where you're going to be today.
Today I'm going to be at Bass Pro Shops in Arundel Mills.
Okay. And folks can come down there and talk to you about brook trout. And they may want to talk to you after this broadcast about the northern pike as well. So
I would enjoy that.
Take them back to the tackle department, show them everything they need as far as, you know, your top secret baits and everything else. And
yeah, that...
That ain't going to happen, is it?
Well, it depends how strongly influenced I am.
Ah, strongly influenced. Ah, that's funny. All right, that's pretty good. So... we got one more segment here. How would you like to wrap this up, Matt?
I guess two things. First and foremost is timing of the year.
Okay.
If you want to chase these big pike, we're getting into the absolute best time of the year to do so. You have to understand a little bit about the ecology of this species. A lot of folks who are out there in the nice, you know, warm days, summer months, they catch a lot of the little guys. We call them hammer handles. The 18, 20, 22, even 24, 26-inch fish. Little pike, nice little fight, but at the end of the day, not really the big ones that we're talking about on this show. Those big fish have a different temperature tolerance. They're more of a cold water species. So during the warm months when a lot of folks are out, those fish are looking for cold water, which is generally very deep in the lake, and they're not as active as what they are right now. So if folks want to target these fish, you know, fall, winter, and early spring are definitely the time to do so.
Fall, winter, and spring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And
right.
fall being typically what I found the best time, not only for pike, but for a lot of fish species. Generally, the water's getting colder.
Right.
Fish feel that, and they really start to feed heavily in preparation for the winter. So it fall is a great time to catch just about any predatory fish.
Right. Got it.
Yep.
All right. What else? What's the other part?
The other part would be, you know, it takes a long time to grow these large fish. And if you're out there, if you catch them on purpose or you catch them as bycatch and accidentally, they're a pretty special resource. You know, this far south in the range, we're actually on the very southern tip of their range.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a fishery here in Maryland where we can grow 40-plus inch northerns, and I've caught them to almost 44 inches and have caught numerous fish over 40 inches at this point, which rivals, you know, anything you're going to find north of here. They, you know, to have that kind of unique fishery here in Maryland, it's going to take a lot of voluntary type catch and release, and if everybody takes a 40-inch northern home when they catch one, there's going to be far fewer of them out there for folks to enjoy. So not saying you have to release them all, but if you want to see the fishery continue the way it is, consider taking a picture, having a replica mount made or something along those lines, and put the fish back for the next angler to tangle with, because they are a heck of a lot of fun to catch, and everything about them is just pretty cool.
Exactly. As somebody who's been catching northern pike since 12 years old, the Deep Creek fishery is as good as any anywhere anywhere south of the Canadian border. I would say just about, or anywhere east of the Midwest. You know, where some of the typical big pike lakes are.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, upstate New York is great, and so is some of the provinces in Canada. But this is a tremendous fishery right here in Maryland, and we just love it. We do.
That's exactly it. There are places where you can catch a lot more pike. And you may catch on a given week more big pike, but I'm going to put the size structure of the pike in Deep Creek up against any fishery, including a lot of those in Canada.
Exactly.
And the best thing about it is, even if you live on the Eastern Shore, you're looking at a 4-hour drive, worst case. Maybe 5 hours if you're down in the Southern Shore.
18 hours to Canada.
compared to 18 hours to Canada,
exactly.
And the license and the passport now that you need to get over there, it's a relatively cheap trip, and there's a real good chance you can tangle with one of these, you know, really big, you know, truly trophy class fish, no matter where you're at, from Minnesota, Canada to here.
That's true. All right. Hey, Matt, one more brief break. Let me tell the folks about Merrick Backcountry for dogs whose taste buds are still wild. We add chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat to grain-free high-protein kibble made in the USA with no ingredients from China. Merrick Backcountry is the ancestral diet preferred by dogs who prefer the outdoors. That's Merrick Backcountry. They love the wild as much as you do. And let me tell you folks one more time about your hunting headquarters. That's Clyde Sports Shop right here in Baltimore. You talk about firearms for hunting. Well, Clyde's has the gold light 10-gauge. If you are into the 10-gauge for waterfowl, this is a gas-operated auto loader, a 3.5-inch chamber, composite with DuraTouch Armor Coating and Mossy Oak Camo. It comes with three standard Invector choke tubes. It's a proven standard for auto loading performance, the Gold Light 10. And also along that same line, the Maxis, available in Mossy Oak, 3 and 3.5-inch chambers. A new power drive gas system reduces recoil in the Maxis. That's right, waterfowl hunting perfection. Now, for those of you who hunt in a rifle county, or maybe you want to take a trip out west, it's the X-Bolt, extremely accurate, bolt-action, big-game hunting perfection, and a pretty-looking rifle, too. That's all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers are available with adjustable feather trigger, the detachable rotary magazine. You will put a nice piece of optics on this firearm, and it will perform and perform and perform. The BPS pump in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge models, even 12 and 20-gauge rifled deer barrel models available. Rifled barreled deer models are available in the BPS pump. That's right, a pump-action shotgun with a bottom ejection, a DuraTouch armor coating, and Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo. Three Invector plus choke tubes in the shotguns, and you will have a great time shooting that BPS pump. And one more time, the A5, the hump is back. The most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated auto loader on the planet. 100,000 rounds or a 5-year guarantee. See them all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway. Exit number 9, that phone number 410-242-6108. www.clydesports.com. Gunsmithing, scope mounting, ammunition, licenses, all available at Clyde Sports Shop. Open 7 days a week.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. New location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
Well, my baby, she's been watching all my hunting videos. She's been itching, she's been begging, she's been wanting to go. I said, you gotta get up early. And honey, you ain't gonna like it, 'cause you can't pee and you gotta be quiet. But she was bound, she was determined, so I took her down and outfitted her from head to toe. And oh my gosh, my baby looks good in camouflage.
All right, we're back for the final segment here with Matt Sell from DNR Fisheries Service. He's our biologist for brook trout and for Northern Pike at Deep Creek Lake, and brook trout, of course, statewide. Matt, tell me, where are you going to be one more time today?
We're going to be at Bass Pro Shops in Arundel Mills.
Okay, very good. 10 o'clock this morning, I guess. You'll be down there, something like that. As soon as you're finished here, you're headed this way.
Yep, I'm going to walk out the door from the office and head east. I believe the seminars start at 10, and the last seminars begin at 3, so we should be there about 10 to 4 or so.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to be on at 11 and 3. So if you want to hear some information about brook trout fishing in Maryland, maybe get started in that, stop on by.
Okay. And I want to remind the folks that it is National Hunting and Fishing Day. Since 1972, it's been National Hunting and Fishing Day, the fourth Saturday in September every year since. That that bill was signed the year I graduated from high school by President Richard M. Nixon. So thankful to him and all those behind National Hunting and Fishing Day. Maryland's event is at the Associated Gun Club Range in Marriottsville on Marriottsville Road. There's a lot of activities for the kids. There's casting and shooting and archery and the whole deal. The entire world of Maryland hunting and fishing will be there to meet and greet the public and involve them in some activities, and you'll get to see some fine folks there. So come on down and see, stop by our booth at the Maryland Hunting Coalition, and we'll be more than glad to talk to you about it. And Matt, we thank you for joining us this morning. Any final words, buddy?
Hey, the fall is a great time to fish, but any time is a great time to fish in Maryland. So get out there, catch a few. You know, try to get a big toothy critter if you want. And my my final word is, I gotta say hello to my wife who's listening this morning. She was woken by our 1 year old boy because I decided to wake him up before I left.
Good job, so, buddy. Very nice.
I'm doing my job as a husband.
Yeah, I mean, he was a tadpole when I was out there with you last year, and I saw him at the Fishing Challenge, and your lovely daughter, who is on the cover of the Fishing Rule Book this year, and she's a sweet young lady. She helped us with some of the awards down at the Fishing Challenge, and nice to see your wife again, and hopefully we'll be out there. I know I'll be in your area the end of October when I'm bear hunting, and maybe we'll get a chance to share a boat ride.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it, Alan.
Matt, you have a great time today. Safe travels today, buddy, and just enjoy this weekend, and I guess you're on leave after this on the Outer Banks.
Yes, sir. I got the kayak in the truck, and it's time to go catch some catch something a little different, man.
A little different. There you go. Well, good for you. All right. Matt Sell from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. And, Matt, we thank you for joining us this morning. Again, ladies and gentlemen, just let me say this while Matt's still on the line. The folks that are that work for the Department of Natural Resources, the biologists, the boots-on-the-ground people that are out there doing the research, Matt enjoys every bit of the research that he does. But these folks work hard at what they do. And they do that because they love the resources here in Maryland. They want to make sure that our resources in Maryland, our natural resources, are sustainable, that we have the best habitat possible, that we have the best sustainable populations for not only fish but wildlife too. That's what this Department of Natural Resources does. Everything they do pretty much is based on science.